Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Belated good afternoon, everybody. It is the Hour of Truth. We cannot hook up with James, which is what we were working on there.
Well, we hooked up with him. We just can't hear him.
Yeah, we can't hear him. So there you go. I don't know. It took reinstalling some stuff to get Sam to work. Sam did not want to work, so who knows? That's the way Sam gets sometimes. So, what all's going on? Other than my technical savvy being tested to no avail.
No, not much. I would that James would come on, but it's
Yeah, no, I don't know why we can't hear him.
I'm still here.
It is another Sunday effort. Did you get to hear any of the Steve broadcast?
Yeah, I did. It seemed to me, and I could be quite frankly wrong, but it seemed to really have flowed through with the end of the message with what I was talking about. And, you know, there's no situation too big for the Lord. I mean, there's none. And it's coming to that place. What he was starting to talk about too was the battle, and how the battle is a battle for your life, not battle for just a bit, not just battle for a little bit, but a battle for your life. And one of the things that I was hearing is actually taking heed to the word, taking heed, you know, just like in the word where Paul wrote letters to the churches for them to take heed to the word. And one of those places where if you're not taking heed to that word, you know, what you find is that you're going to start losing that battle. I mean, the battle's won, or the war is won. We just need to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ in it. And we do that by taking heed to his word, believing his word, and going forward in it. And, you know, some of the scriptures that kind of came to mind, you know, kind of leaving off where we're at. One is that, I know you went to 1 John there for a little bit, and one is that the in him is light, and then there's no darkness at all. And, you know, you look at the examples of, you take that look at that example that where I used Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God. And in doing that, I mean, he took heed to the word of the Lord And he went out and he obeyed and he trusted the Lord. Now, his obedience was just a manifestation of him trusting the Lord, where he didn't stagger at the promise. That's why how he could go and offer up Isaac. He didn't stagger at that. And the place where we run into error all the time is where we do stagger into that. We don't take heed to his word. We don't take heed to his promise. And we, if we can get to that basis front in him is light and there's no darkness at all, man, if we could cleave onto that, we know that no matter what the situation is around us, no matter what it is, we serve the Lord, we trust him, and it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Because, you know, you take a look at Paul, for an example. You take a look at Jeremiah, for an example. And one of the things is, you know, we get, you know, where we make it all about us so much that we miss, that we can miss that promise of God. Because, you know, you take a look at Paul. He had a vision for by the Holy Spirit to go forward and to go to this place. What happens? He gets thrown into jail. And he's thrown down in the bottom of the pit. What does he start doing? He starts worshiping, praising God. He was obedient to the Lord. And because of that, this, the vision that he saw and the place that he went to, he was able to minister to that person. But a lot of times, what we would get caught up in, if that happened to us, we'd be in the situation, or happened to me, I should speak for myself, I'd be going, I thought I was supposed to go here. I mean, what did I do wrong? I mean, Lord, do you hate me? Or, you know, what's going on? I must have listened to the wrong voice. I must have listened to the wrong voice because this isn't looking pretty. But you know what? It's about us serving him, and it doesn't. We don't have to see the big picture, and that's why it's a walk of faith. In him is light, and then there's no darkness at all.
That's right.
And see, and you can go. You can just go step out forward. You can go trusting him. And a lot of times, I mean, if you're in error, that will be revealed unto you. You repent. You move on. A lot of times, you can see the fruit of that which you're sowing. And if you're sowing the thing that is evil, repent. Change from that.
This is very distracting to have things flying across.
I know.
The
I feel like I mean, but praise God. I mean,
we can go on because we're still working. So I mean, there's no big deal.
But if we trust him, his light, and there's no darkness at all, and he's a loving father, then we can trust him, and we don't have to concern ourselves one bit. We just set our eyes on Jesus. We serve him, and it doesn't matter what situation happens. What happens?
Yeah, if you keep your eyes on yourself, you're going to tank.
Right, absolutely.
There's a tendency to do that, to fall into that, and that's going to just exasperate you and make you.
And it absolutely is. And you don't know that situation that you're going through. And this is where it's a walk of faith. That situation you're going through will either be one that the enemy's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Lord's taking that upside down situation, turning it right side up. You don't know what's going on there. But that's where you go and you trust the Lord and you seek to serve him. And see, not in presumption. Because there's a lot of instances we get ourselves in the situation is because of our own presumption, our own pride, our own disobedience, something that we did not seek to do. But, you know, even in that, we can learn from that, and the Lord can redeem if we're seeking to humble ourselves and just serve him. See, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because, see, it's all about him. It's always has been. And the thing that needs to get manifested is Jesus. His faithfulness, his love, his grace, his mercy. That's the only thing that needs to be manifest. That's the only thing that is going to save or help anybody.
I mean, in the midst of that, of Paul, in the midst of Paul going through what he was, what happened was Jesus got manifested, and his power got manifested with him in the prison. You know, when David did what he did, he committed murder and adultery. What got manifested after he repented? The thing that got manifested was Jesus Christ's grace and his mercy, his gospel was manifested. And it just showed to others that they could receive of that grace and that mercy.
James, say something.
Can you hear me, Paul?
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, we can hear you.
Success! Yeah, I was flying through trying to set this stuff up after a reboot, and I clicked the wrong thing on the speakers, on the audio repeater. So that's why I couldn't hear you. But before we started, when I was trying to talk to you on Skype, and I had to go to the reboot, was Sam wasn't seeing any mic or anything else. It was really crazy. So I knew that was going to be a reboot. When you do stuff in a hurry like that, sometimes you click on the wrong things, and I'm guilty! So we just keep on moving forward, because otherwise we could just spend an hour here talking about how screwed up I am. not profitable for me anyway. I already know that.
It's kind of funny what you mentioned there, because I was at Chuck E. Cheese's the other day with my daughter, and one of the things that I'd play this, and it's interesting, and I looked at just playing this basketball game where you throw the basketball in the hoops, how it's so, it was interesting, because I'd go and I'd be shooting, and you got to get as many baskets as you can.
Yeah.
You know, you can get the most tickets, right? So I'm playing this game, and man, I mean, it was an interesting thing. When I'd miss, I mean, the basket's pretty close, so you can hit them, nail them, like, back-to-back. It's just how fast you can get them in there. And, you know, I'd miss, or, you know, it'd stumble up. And when I would do this number, oh! And, you know, kind of like, dang, I missed that. And then, you know, it causes me to fumble this next ball and fumble. And then, you know, next thing you know, there's, like, 4 seconds gone, no baskets, you know, because I'm just flailing around. And all it was I got hung up on missing that one. And what happened in that is, in the midst of me doing that, in the midst of this play in the game, it was like my focus had to be, you miss it, who cares, move on. You miss it, move on. Don't let that affect your next choice.
Right.
Move on. And it was like, and you just kept going. You kept going. Because if you got hung up that you missed one, you're going to miss a lot. You're going to miss the rest of them, it seems to be. And, I mean, that's how it is in the Lord, in the sense. I mean, gosh, man, we mess up. Man, don't let that. I mean, it kind of reminds me of James. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
That's going to happen.
When that's going to happen, absolutely. Absolutely. Don't let that hinder you of making the choice for Jesus again.
That's right. And that's our tendency. We want to go crawl into a shell and just hide from everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know I'm like that very much. And see, that doesn't benefit at all.
It's no surprise to Jesus how we are.
Absolutely.
He took us anyway.
Right. And all that is when you mess up, you took your eyes off the Lord. There's a reason why you mess up. Or it's actually just a learning process, a lack of knowledge that you screwed up. And then you realized, and then doing that is like, oh, okay, I went the wrong direction.
Count it all joy, because that's how it works.
Absolutely. That's how you learn. Yeah. How else do you learn but by messing up? And so you realize, and it's a lack of knowledge. But what do you gain out of that? You gain a knowledge.
Yeah.
You gain an experience.
The kind of trying of your faith worketh patience.
You gain a knowledge, you gain experience. And look, all that does is just more ammo for your next thing. And it's just opportunity for the grace of God and his gospel to be manifested. That's all that is. So, I mean, it's a win-win. with Jesus. When you set your eyes on Jesus, it's a win-win. It really is.
Right.
And see, and that's all it's about anyways. It ain't about us, how many hoops we can nail. It's all about Him. And see, that's the grace of God
it's
for
kind
us.
Kind of, you know, an interesting is because my mind goes to it. Paul talking about in Romans 5, we glory in tribulation.
Well, exactly. That's what's kind of going through my mind.
But, you know, all right. It just flew away.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think you were going here, and I could be wrong.
Tell me where I was going.
Well, where my mind went to, let me put it that way, where my mind went to is we glory in tribulations because tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. You know, I messed up. I messed up. I screwed up. Okay. Gosh, where did I screw up at? Oh, I see where I screwed
where
up.
Where I got out of bed. That was pretty much it.
I hear you. But no, I mean, I screwed up here. All right, I see where I screwed up. All right, what did I learn out of that? Mm-hmm. What did I learn out of that? What can I take from that? Lord, forgive me. Put my eyes back on you, Lord. What can I learn out of that? Lord? And you gain an experience. You gain a trust, and you watch the Lord be manifested in that situation. Whatever the case may be, and you go, okay, well, praise God, I learned something.
The whole process is designed to learn for you to learn the faithfulness of the Lord and your need for Him. And it's interesting because when Jesus in John says, in the world you shall have tribulation, He says, but what does it say, take heart? Not I will overcome the tribulation.
Be of good cheer. I
have overcome the world.
Right.
So He didn't take the tribulation out of the deal. He took the world and its apparent victory and all of that over.
Absolutely.
Took that out. I've overcome the world.
Amen.
The tribulation will work is patience. You need to learn the faithfulness of the Lord and to not be veered off, to be kicked off the path. That's straight and narrow.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. See, it's about His faithfulness. See, it's about what He completed on the cross. See, it's about the faithfulness of what...
Not about you being a screw-up and being too big a screw-up for His work to work.
Absolutely. Well, it's not about that. It is
not about you at all.
Exactly. Exactly. And... in that you see, but what you see with Abraham, you see God's faithfulness. So you see something that you can obtain.
Right.
And it wasn't about Abraham's faithfulness, because let's look at that. Abraham, it was years, right, before he really took the commandment of God and just straight up did it because he believed and trusted God. What was it, 25 years before he got to that point with offering up Isaac or whatever the case? I don't know how many years it is, but it was some time because Isaac was not he wasn't 10 years old when this was going down. I mean, he was like a man,
mm-hmm.
a young man when this was going down. I mean, so it was years to that point, and what you see is God's faithfulness in that. Now, Abraham chose to believe that, yes, see, and that's the responsibility where we fall into. That's where it comes down to. The responsibility, really, for us to choose to believe the Lord is on us. You know, where you see...
And it, in a sort of a way, it was, you know, Isaac was believing Abraham.
But
God will provide the ram.
Well, I mean, Abraham, well, Isaac, there was faith. I mean, because Isaac could have took down Abraham and said, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to do what? He could have strong-armed him, just wrestled him and said, no, nah, ain't happening, Pops. Love you. Here's an elbow. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, it could have gone that way.
But it doesn't show... It shows Isaac believing God as well. But see, what you take out that, at the end of that, he chose to believe God. to the point where God would have to raise up Isaac from the dead. And that's the same with us. I mean, the situation with, gosh, I mean, I go back, Lord provided, took a messed up situation that I caused, and he turned it up right side up, and many more, but it actually happened too many times. I mean, if I go, we'd be here all day, we'd go through the list of things. But it serves is a it magnifies the Lord's faithfulness. And, you know, you turn and you repent, you see what the Lord is able and capable to do. And what happens is, over time, it's like the children of Israel. We're like the children of Israel there. Over time, what happens is the Lord showed up for the children of Israel over and over again. That responsibility still lies for us to choose to believe the Lord. And he showed himself to be faithful. See, the error is not with Jesus.
No, they kept judging God as justifying them. That's what they were wanting, and that he wouldn't do that.
The error was not with Jesus.
Right.
The error is with us. And see, that happens a lot of times. It comes down to the root of our own, the own evil heart of unbelief. Okay. But see, that's where we can count. We can even look at that. We can even say, look at that evil heart of unbelief and say, here you go, Lord. I am going to choose to believe you even for this evil heart of unbelief that I have. Here you go. You put it on the altar, man. You give it. See, he's faithful. And you serve him. You trust him no matter what the deal is. See, that those tribulations that happens, it just strengthens our faith. I remember the Davey talking about the God allowing a tribulation to happen so your faith gets strengthened in him, which is more precious, as Peter talks about, is more precious than gold, more precious than silver, the most precious thing. The most precious thing. Is because, and it's all, man, if we can just grab that, in him there is light and there's no darkness at all. In him that we count and we trust on, to believe on and trust in the thing that he's already done. It's manifested. It manifested in our lives personally, on a personal level.
You're never going to learn his ways unless you submit to that teaching. That's what that is. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Trying of your faith worketh patience. That is the end of that process. And you don't ever learn. If you never fall, you never learn about what faith means. You never learn. You never appreciate the fact that you have. He accepted you anyway. And you never get shown in an experiential way that his grace is still there, his mercy is still there. It didn't go anywhere. You fell because that's what you do. That's the only thing you're good at.
Oh, absolutely.
And his grace showed up anyway. That's what the trying of your faith works, patience. That's the point. That patience is that reliability of the process. From the trustworthiness of the work he did in forgiving you. The cost to him was his life. And that makes him a worthy person to cast all of your cares on. Because you've been purchased.
And, you know, when it comes down,
by a loving master.
And when it comes down, what is it, the cost? I mean, that's why he needs faithful servants that believe him. To do battle. See, you can't do battle if you love your own life. You know, and I'm bringing up the point here because you know, I used Paul, I used Jeremiah, I was talking about them, and they didn't love their own life. See, you, it's got to cost you your life too.
Right.
You know, and Jesus talks about it in scriptures a few times about anybody who doesn't take up their cross and follow after me cannot be my disciple. And, you know, many examples.
Unless you hate brother, mother, sister, father, you cannot be my disciple.
And he goes on about a man who loves his own life, love his own life and loses his own soul. And, you know, goes on. I wish I could find that scripture, or maybe somebody can pull that up.
Luke 14:26.
But the point is, you need to be in a place where no matter what the situation is, you're going to trust the Lord. You're going to serve Him. You're going to serve Him regardless of what's around you, regardless of what's going on around you. And I tell you, I'm learning that. I mean, that's not something that I have obtained. Something that a process that I'm going through. And if I don't ever learn it, I mean, there's nobody else's fault but my own. It's nobody else's fault but my own. But he needs that, because how the Lord manifests himself is sometimes through your death. That's what happened with Stephen. You know, sometimes it's shipwreck. Sometimes it's an utter disaster where the Lord gets manifested in. A lot of times it is.
Yeah.
Actually. It's that Pharaoh's army bearing down. And so you can't, to be able to set your eyes on Jesus, you can't have your eyes on this world at the same time. You can't be loving your life. Because if you're loving your life, you're going to do like we talked about, hightail and run. You're going to cower down to that situation, get out of that situation, exit stage left, exit stage right, exit stage back, not forward.
Right.
If you love your own life. And see, what the Lord needs is somebody that will stand up and that does not love his own life, and to go forward so that he can be manifested in that. Because we're his body. See, he's given the power to us. He's right. The one that and recruited us through the death on the cross for that reason. And if we're not going to stand where he's called us to stand, who is?
Right.
Who is? See, and so that's what it takes. So it's that, and it's not something that I look forward to, but it's a praise the Lord. And when you really, it's an amazing thing. The thing that looks so devastating at times, the thing that looks so like a defeat to all around, man, when you put your eyes on Jesus, it's amazing how that all dissipates. How it all goes away.
Yeah.
And see, when it's all about Him and you serving Him, you don't need to know what it looks like or what the outcome it's going to be. It doesn't even matter how it's played out. It doesn't matter how He's manifested. It doesn't. See, because it's all about Him, His gospel, and His grace.
Man. You're awful quiet there, James.
I was enjoying listening to Phil. But, I mean, Phil's absolutely right. It is all about Jesus, and for us to make the decision to serve Him and die to ourselves. That's where the rubber meets the road.
But how did they overcome them? Revelation. By the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their life, to the end. But actually, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life to the death. Man, those first two were like, yes! It's that third one that we go, oh! And then in that third one where we go, oh, are we really making them Lord? And see, and that's where are we really making them Lord? Are we still loving our own life? Because when that situation or that wall, or when we meet that prison, and I use that as kind of like, you know, an example, like, you know, Paul going to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, praising God. Or do we go to prison and we go, crap, I mean, you know, Paul would be like, all right, look. Look, Barnabas, okay, I'm going to knock out the guard to the left. You knock out the guard to the right, and we're going to just hightail it, man. I mean, let's get out of here.
Well, I mean, Phil, that's where we all love the Savior.
Right.
But it's the Master that we struggle with, and
Absolutely.
Lord.
Absolutely.
Because that means we do His will, not ours.
Absolutely. And it really doesn't matter how it looks, how it's manifested.
That's right.
And when we're about Him, it doesn't matter. When we're about ourselves, we get all bent out of shape about it. We get bent out of shape about it. And, you know, I know on a personal level, it you know, it's just time to let's kill that, because that's just misery. That's a miserable existence. When it's all about Him and all those things don't matter, that's a far better existence. And see, that's where you stand in the victory.
You know, the whole point in picking up your really cross and daily and following Him is because you're dying to yourself daily.
Absolutely.
You're putting this old flesh on the cross daily. And that's a choice you make. He doesn't do that for you. But you can, and when you do, you prosper in Him.
Absolutely. And when that happens, I mean, it's that's where you walk into victory. You don't look, what does Paul say in Romans? We are as sheep for the slaughter, you know, and he goes on, and he goes, but nay, I said, we more are more than conquerors in Christ. See, when Stephen, to the natural, it looks like, you are sheep for
big time failure.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Sheep for the slaughter, man. You look at Stephen. Yeah, he was sheep for the slaughter. Look at that. No, I mean, that's not what Stephen walked in. He walked in victory. What did he see? He's seen God stand up. See, it moves for Stephen to stand up. For Stephen to stand up and to say what he did in obedience unto the Holy Ghost and to the Father. It moved Jesus to stand, because where does he sit? He sits on the throne of God. But what did he saw? Jesus standing. See, it moved Jesus to stand. And he got that welcome in, that good and faithful servant. What was I mean, Stephen was all about the Lord. He got victory, man. He got eternal life. He got salvation.
And he got enough of understanding about what Jesus was about. He said, lay not this sin to their charge.
He believed him. And see, and that's what he was about. He believed God. See, he didn't manifest that himself. It wasn't based on how good Stephen was prior to that point. It wasn't based on how bad Stephen was prior to that point. It wasn't based on any of those things. It just, he chose to believe God and to serve God. And whatever the cost was, did not matter. He got to partake of the victory.
And he's hid right now with Christ in God. That's... That's the whole point of this exercise. So... This flesh ain't going to get you there.
No. You're free from it if you choose to be free from it.
Right.
I mean, it's like the Lord's got this great gift for you to be free from it. But if you don't ever take hold of it, I mean, it's there. It just, He can't make you make that choice. And see, that's where the responsibility for us to choose, is on us.
Right.
And what gets manifest in this process, Paul? What gets manifest? We say, Lord, created me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. That was David's prayer. That is our prayer. What happens in the midst of that is, you're talking about that tribulation worketh patience. What gets manifested to me through these things? You know, Lord, do whatever it takes. You know, what gets manifested to me in these things is my evil heart of unbelief. It comes floundering about. What comes floundering about? I might have the idea that, oh, I'm making Jesus Lord, and what I come to when that situation happens and my reaction to it is, I'm not making Jesus Lord.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, David.
Hi, David. Well,
welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to jump in on something real quick.
Okay, good.
You, on a subject you've been talking about, one of the things that I've always wondered about is that we receive the Lord as our Lord and Savior, and we say that we give Him our life. And my question is, if we give Him our life, why are we still doing our own things?
Good question.
Good point.
Just want to leave you with that. Y'all, I continue to have a great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Bye.
Bye.
Good and simple question.
That's right.
Kind of sums that up.
Yeah.
Because that's what, I tell you, that question, and I look, that's what's manifest. I say, Creed and Cliff, that's what's manifest. Is then why am I doing my own thing here? Look on Edward, I see it. I'm trying to do my own thing.
If I turn my life over to him, it's his.
That's right.
And as a, you know, a servant, a bond slave for that matter, I don't have a right to do my own thing. I have a right to do his thing.
And you given, and it's funny, it's like,
but it's not even that. It's not the whole life thing. It's just his.
That's right. And it's like, we're like Indian givers with that. Here you go. Oh, that's right. I want it back. I mean, I forget that. Here you go. Oh, no. Let me take it back.
I don't want mine back. I want his.
But that's what we're doing with our life.
Sure.
Yeah, Lord, we're Lord and Savior. Here you go. Oh, no.
That's where, you know, the Lord, people want to make the Lord part of their life. And the truth is the Lord needs to become your life.
Right. Which part of your life are you going to replace with it?
We need to replace all of it.
All of it. Needs to all go.
Yeah, it's more like we lay down our life, partake of His.
Yeah.
And that's...
There's no other way.
There really isn't.
And that's, you know, kind of one of my alternative readings of that passage in Luke is, unless you do this, you can't be my disciple. It doesn't work.
Exactly. You can't
walk. Yeah, it's not I'm prohibiting you from doing it. It just won't work as long as you still prefer these things.
And it's that double-mindedness.
Absolutely.
Don't think that double-minded man will what? Receive anything of the Lord.
Right.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. The motive.
He who knows how we are created and knows what we're about knows that we can't hold on to both those things. We can't do it. It makes us duplicity. It makes us, you know, doing things. We find ourselves doing things that make us a double agent.
Absolutely. And, you know, you read James and it hits, it nails on that double mindedness. It nails on the motive, nails on what you're really about.
Right.
And you know, you find yourself not receiving anything of the Lord. Look at what you're about. Take an honest look and see at what you're about. Lord, show me what I am about. And really, quite frankly, all you got to do is just step back and look. Look at the decisions you're making. They'll show you. They'll show you.
Right.
Be man. I mean, it's really in plain view.
Yeah.
And then that's where you say, that's where you make that decision. All right. Who am I going to serve?
Right.
Isn't that the decision that we have before?
And if, you know, when you first turn your life over to the Lord, if it's changed since then, if you've changed since then, you've first drew closer to him and then you withdrew again, then who moved?
We did, not the Lord. He's been there the whole time.
That's right. You don't get to do both things. If you turn your life over to him, it's his.
That's right. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He hasn't moved. We're all over the place. He is steadfast. He is faithful. That's what faithful is. He went to the cross, resurrected.
But here's the good news. You can come back.
Amen.
Because that's the tendency we all have. That don't let that again. Don't be caught looking at yourself again. Look to Jesus. The Hebrews says the author and finisher of our faith. The example of what faith looks like.
Just like that basketball game. You don't get hung up.
That's right.
Bounced off, missed, was off, completely off. Repent, go forward. Give it over to him. Make that decision.
Keep nailing it.
Keep picking up the next ball.
Right.
Don't give up. Don't bow down to that old man. Take heed to it like Jacob did, wrestling with Jesus. Take heed to it as Paul says to take heed to. Go into it as it's a battle for what? Not a battle. It's a battle for life. Not just for a certain amount of time, but a battle for your life, your salvation, not this life, not this
battle is
worldly
a,
life.
It's a fight to apprehend that life of His.
Amen. Absolutely. There you go.
And partake in it. That's, you know, what Paul says. I not that I esteem myself to have already attained it, but I press on.
And what gets exposed? It says, you know, this tricky, rotten flesh. It sure is. What does Hebrews talk about? The sin that so easily besets us. But you know what gets manifested to me through that is how it, what gets manifested is my own motive, like James is talking about. My own motive. I'm like, you know what? Have I given my life to Jesus? He ain't going to take it away from you. He's a gentleman.
Right.
He ain't going to force it upon you.
That's, again, you know, this whole thing here is filled with choices that we have to make. We're called on to make these choices if we're going to be successful and profitable in Him. If we're going to partake of His goodness, of his, if we're going to commit to His way and have our life, if our life is His life, then what we're doing is going to show Him instead of us. And that's really, you know.
What was it about? What was it left off of this morning? It's never been about us.
Never been about
Abraham. It's never been about David. It's been about Jesus. It's always been about His life. That's what it's been about. Let's stop making it about anything other than that. Because it's just,
let's be successful in living our lives in such a way that remembering that it's His life. And if we're going to live that life, then it needs to look like His. And we have how His went described here. And we have to agree to be all right with the end. Because the end was a cross death. That's okay. It's not, that's only a temporary one because Jesus didn't stay there.
Absolutely.
And if we're living His life, then we won't stay there either.
Amen. In fact, I mean, if our focus is right, I mean, we'll be like Paul. I mean, I would that I go be with the Lord, but to be here in the flesh is needful for you. it would be, it doesn't matter. I take it home as Stephen, my home. Or, you know, I need to stick around for what the Lord would have me partake for others.
That's right. That's a good word. It's a good place to say goodbye, guys.
Yeah, I would. Davey stayed on and just...
Yeah, I know.
Can I say something real quick, Paul?
Okay, go, fire.
Steve and his service mentioned today, you know, when there's like you're at service and you hear something, it's, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, that applies to that person.
Right.
And what Davey said today, that is not the mindset that we need to have. That applied to each and every one of us. I know me. I can for a surety say it applies to me.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we should be looking at anyways as far as the as far as that self-examination goes. It's not, oh, that's good for so-and-so. That's good for so-and-so. Man, no, that applies to me. But I'm going to look upon Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. Lord bless you today and this week. Have a good afternoon and a good rest of your week.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.